more migrants now heading north through Mexico. Following meetings with Arab leaders, Secretary of State Blinken has returned to Israel for talks focusing on the Israel-Hamas war. 4 days ahead of Taiwan's presidential parliamentary elections, the island's defense ministry issuing an alert saying that communist China has launched a satellite. Stocks are lower on Wall Street so far this morning. The Dow down 256 points. The Nasdaq is off 73. The S&P 21 points in the red. More details at srnnews.com.
As God calls us to serve Him, He calls us to study. Conservative Theological University provides studies on campus and online personalized distant education studies that lead to your certified degree. Earn your associate's, bachelor's, master's, or doctorate. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE today. Please leave your contact information for the staff to reach out to you. That's 1-800-GO-BIBLE for Conservative Theological University.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a subject today that should grasp the attention of each of us. You see, we, for the most part, get caught up in life listening to the political rhetoric, listening to the denominational dogma, and fail to recognize that the real truth, the only truth, the final truth, comes from the Word of God. It's not a matter of what a denomination might say or a political pundit might tell you. It's a matter of what God's Word says. And God's Word says that we're living in perilous times. That's the last of the last days. Perilous times means dark, devastating, difficult, deceptive, dangerous, deadly. And the scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, gives a very, very good overview of how to identify the perilous times. We're seeing that today. And ladies and gentlemen, part of that perilous times is watching what is taking place in relationship to the morals, the ethics, and the values that's being destroyed in our nation. I'm going to read a brief portion of an article, then we'll take our next caller. This article is from Matthew Staver with Liberty Counsel. It says, she can't undo the past, but we can help. Carrie was just 13 years old when she told a local clinic she wished she were a boy. 10 years of fake hormones and a double mastectomy later, Carrie is stuck with a medically disfigured body and stunted sex organs. Because no one was there to counsel her against sex reassignment surgery. Now, at the age of 23, Carrie would give anything in the world to be able to turn it back. Liberty Counsel cannot turn back time for Carrie, but we can fight for kids like her in court, Matthew Staver said, so they're not harmed by the LGBTQ propaganda. This article states, Carrie says she was far too young to fully comprehend what she was asking for. A lifetime of tomboy who couldn't fit in with her classmates at school. Carrie said she sought help from a local clinic that claimed to specialize in gender confusion. After just three short appointments, not a single word of discouragement or admonishment for the doctors and clinic personnel, Carrie was railroaded down a path that would forever change her life and appearance for the worse, not for the better. Ladies and gentlemen, that's part of the perilous times. Those are the times that we're living in. Those are the days that we're living in. And I believe it's time that we as Christians understand it and recognize it and be convinced and convicted that we need to do something now while we yet have opportunity. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please.
Good afternoon, Dr. John Budd. How are you today?
I'm doing well. I pray that you are. I hope you're ready for the storm.
I'm out here working. but anyway, what a sad shame. I have to wonder where that young woman's parents were at during that ordeal and why they didn't intervene or step in. It's truly sad. Another part that is, I'm going to switch gears on you because I'm going back to what you were talking about before the break. And this is a good example. We get conflicting stories. Now, I firmly believe in my heart that there was more than 200 FBI agents there. I have no idea. I have no doubts in my mind that it was a Mockingbird type of operation.
Yes.
But when you have other evangelical Christians, and I'll give you an example of one. Our ex-vice president, Mike Pence, said on CNN that he believes there was no FBI agents there because that's what they told him. So when you have individuals that profess Christianity or profess Jesus Christ, and then they turn around and they're saying and doing things, and I'm not saying this about Mike Pence, but I've seen this before where those representing a evangelical church are representing a false value, and a lot of people are being led astray. A good example would be Mike Warren, and not that everything that he says is unbiblically true, but there are some things that he's doing that are, you know, that are causing conflict within the Southern Baptist Convention. But just that type of thing, and these are milquetoast descriptions or examples I'm giving you. They're much, much worse. I mean, if you look, I think somebody in the Catholic Church is now condoning the blessing of married homosexual couples, which is clearly not biblically established. So the problem lies within us all to seek Jesus Christ through his word and through witness and to quit following whichever way the wind's blowing, because it's harming everybody.
Jim, you're exactly right. You're exactly right. Go back for a moment with the comment you said was made by Mike Pence. That doesn't surprise me. In fact, what does surprise me, what irritates me, what angers me, is the fact of the spineless Republican Party that we have, from the top leadership down, spineless leadership that's willing to go along to get along and saying for 3 years now that they believe the election was not fraudulent, they believe the election was not stolen, they believe that Joe Biden was officially legally elected as the president, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Leaving President Trump out on the limb to fight the battle alone, when in reality, we've had now True the Vote by Engelbrecht that appeals court just gave total victory in the material that they had produced and showing that several hundred thousand votes were illegal in the state of Georgia. And yet Trump said when he made that telephone call to Raffensperger that all he was looking for was about 11,000 some odd votes. And now the truth is easing, seeping out in Michigan and Pennsylvania and Arizona and Georgia that Trump is 100% right. The vote was fraudulent. The election was stolen. Joe Biden is not the elected president of the United States of America. He has stolen the office of the presidency. And yes, he is now acting as president. But yet we have those that are fearful to take a stand and speak the truth and stand on that truth. And therefore we find a weak, spineless leadership role. This is the reason I've said, and I don't mind saying it again. President Trump is the only one, I believe, and God divinely intervened in 2016 and placed him in office. I believe President Trump is the only one that has the tenacity, the spine, the backbone, the grit to take a stand against the demonic enemies in the Beltway in Washington and have any prayer of being able to clean the sewer and turn America around before it's totally too late. Now, what are your thoughts in relationship to should the Republicans take a stand and say, we believe, in fact, I watched Mike Johnson in an interview with Tapper, what's it, Jake Tapper with CNN, and Tapper was a little perturbed because he couldn't twist Mike Johnson's words, and several times he tried to push Mike Johnson into saying that the election was not stolen, that Joe Biden, and finally Mike Johnson said, well, let's face it, Joe Biden is the sitting president. So when I negotiate something for the House, I negotiate it in good faith, and I have to go to him because he is considered the president. He would not admit to Jake Tapper that there was any thing other than the fact there was nefarious transaction that took place that put Joe Biden in the office. So that's all part and parcel of what I'm discussing is perilous times, dark, dangerous, devastating, difficult, deceitful things that are taking place. Now, I'm not saying that to Jim to say that we need to look at life as doom and gloomist, that we need to toss in the towel, throw the baby out with the bathwater, but I'm saying that we need to recognize what is happening, and it's part of what God's Word tells us shall take place in the last days. What is your take on that?
My take is every Christian that believes in Jesus Christ and reads his word should be awake right now. They should know within their heart that anything that you say here on the radio or that I say to them about it being perilous times is the truth, and that they may not want to accept it and they may be frightened by it, but they should remember in the end, we're all going to stand in front of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you want to stand in front of him on his side or whether you're going to stand in front of him on the other side, the Bema seat or the great white throne, you're going to stand in front of him. So, you know, it doesn't cause you any irreparable harm if you stand up and just say, for me and my house, like Joshua did, we stand with the Lord. I don't think anything you're saying is untruth. It's something that, no matter how uncomfortable it sounds, it's like you always say, the watchman on the wall.
Yes.
You're going to be held accountable in their blood if you don't warn them. And it might not be in our lifetime, but he's going to come. It's just,
amen.
There's going to be that great big huge shout, and it's going to all be over with.
Well, Jim, I tell people we need to prepare as though we're going to be here 1,000 years. And yet be ready the next 10 seconds to be up and out of here. We need to be prepared because God's Word says it. Jim, I'll make a transition before I let you go. Matthew chapter 24 and Mark chapter 13, Luke chapter 21, the eschatological prophetic chapters in the Gospels is very, very telling. In fact, in part, in Matthew chapter 24, verse 5 and following, is that Jesus' disciples have asked him, what are the signs? Word sign comes to the Greek word semeion. We can translate that roadmap, marker, benchmark. You know, you're driving down the highway and there's a sign that shows there's a curve in the road. The bridge is out, eyes on the bridge, etc. That's a sign. And in Matthew chapter 24, it gives very, very clearly gives us a list of the signs of the times and the things that we need to look out for and understand. In verse 6, It says, for example, "And you shall hear wars and rumors of wars. See that ye not be troubled, for all these things must," it's imperative, "must come to pass, but the end is not yet." And so, Jim, do you see that sixth verse of Matthew 24 being relevant on the world scene today, wars and rumors of wars? Speak to that for just a moment for our listeners.
Yeah, very much so. I even see it in Isaiah as well when he's talking about the perilous times there. Good for evil, evil for good, bitter for sweet, sweet for bitter. These are all things where you're looking, and the last days will be like in the days of Noah. So you're looking at people being married, going on about their lives, but they're going on about a very ungodly form, being in the form of godliness, but having no spiritual inner being of it there. It speaks about this in Romans, too. And you look around the world and you see it, and it's frightening, and it makes me think about, you know, Jeremiah and Lamentations, where he was talking, but nobody was listening. And then you think about Solomon and writing, you know, I can't even pronounce that right now.
Ecclesiastes.
Where he says there's nothing new under the sun, and you see all of these things occurring in today's world, and you know that these were written about, and you can't help but know that, wow, there's some... We're in some really eye-opening times that can be quite frightening. So
absolutely, when it talks about wars and rumors of wars, Jim, I don't know if our listeners are aware of the fact that through the Houthis and their drones and missiles being fired in the Straits of Hormuz, where the shipping industry comes through, 178 times the drones and missiles have hit American targets, including some of our American warships that have been attacked by the Houthis. And we know that they are puppets for Iran. And I'm looking at a headline. I'll ask you to comment, then let you go. Dershowitz, that's Alan Dershowitz, says, "Iran has declared war on the United States. Iran has now engaged in deliberate acts of war on numerous occasions against the United States. Most recently, it was responsible for critically injuring an American soldier. Iran has acted through its surrogates and proxies, including the Houthis, the Iraqi militant militia, Hezbollah, and others. There can be no doubt, both as a matter of law and military reality, that recent attacks on American troops, including the one that seriously injured a soldier, are attributable to Iran." Now, when you look at Ezekiel 38 and 39, Iran, that is old Persia, I conclude that it's Iran and Iraq, which together makes up old Persia. With old Persia, they'll be part of the World War III is instigated by Russia, leading five nations in Ezekiel 38 and 39. My question is this, Jim. Should America continue to sit back and take the hits from Iran and say nothing and do nothing, as Joe Biden has been doing? What's the answer? Why would he be doing that? Why is there no retaliation? Why do we not strike the head of the snake, Iran, knowing that they're the cause behind this? What is your answer? What are your thoughts? How should we see this in view of biblical prophecy?
First and foremost, God's in control. Second thing is the Biden administration... Biden himself has been on the wrong side of every policy since he started his career in politics. I have never seen this man on any conservative side of any issue in his entire political career. The third thing is that these nations are theocracies that you're speaking of, even though Iraq is currently... as U.S. troopers in there, it still is a Islamic nation. Mm-hmm. And Islam, in their eschatology, it's perfectly acceptable within the Islamic eschatology for them to bring about the conditions to return their prophet to subjugate the world. So they're going through their demonic plans based solely on any and everything they can do to bring that about. So you've got a lot of complicated things that are occurring, but in that web, God is the one plucking the strings, and he will bring it about for his glory and his good.
Amen.
About as close as I can get on that one.
Jim, you're exactly right. God is sovereign. God's not asleep. God's not on vacation. God's not dead. God's not even had COVID. God's still in control. But because of God's sovereign control of this whole world, and because God's word tells us what God is going to do, God is bringing it about systematically, chronologically, to come to fruition, just as his word has already told us it would happen. So wars and rumors of wars. I'm looking at the headline, Jim, and I'll let you run. U.S. Navy downs 3 ballistic missiles, 2 cruise missiles, and dozens of drones fired by the Houthis. The U.S. naval assets downed a dozen suicide drones, 3 anti-ballistic missiles, and 2 land-based cruise missiles the Houthis fired toward the Red Sea over a 10-hour period of time just this past Tuesday, according to a military statement. And I could go on and on and on with a fistful of articles that I have in relationship to what we're seeing. Jill, I believe we're watching the progression of the origin and the beginnings of World War III, which can be viewed as that which takes place in Ezekiel 38 and 39. So, Jim, thank you so much for your call, and I pray that you'll stay safe today and that you'll be blessed and keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. Thanks so much, Jim. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number, thank you. God bless you. That telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Your telephone call is invited. Join in the dialogue and discussion. We're talking about perilous times. We're talking about the signs of the times. We're talking about what the Bible says with the Lord Jesus Christ answering the question from his disciples. The disciples asked the Lord Jesus, when will the end come? What are some of the signs of the end of time? And Jesus gives them very clearly, very definitively, very definitely the answers to their question in relationship to that. And part of that is found in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 6. And we're witnessing the early stages, I believe, today, as I told Jim, of World War III. We see the war in Ukraine. We look at the fully engaged war. And by the way, there is a fully engaged Middle Eastern war that's taking place today. And ladies and gentlemen, that Middle Eastern war includes Syria, Iran, Lebanon, and China now behind the scenes, and Russia behind the scenes. China and Russia holding hands with Iran, helping to support their military actions in the Middle East. And in return, Iran is selling oil that, by the way, President Trump had blockaded. Now Iran is selling oil on an international level, providing them with the funds to support the Lebanese group against Israel, financing and funding the Houthis, financing and funding Hamas, and they're the promulgators of terrorism around the globe. Listen very carefully of my opinion. You can disagree if you like. I believe that we are looking forward to the very day and the very moment that is in the immediate future where Iran is going to announce we've got a nuclear weapon. You cannot say anything and do anything any further, or we're going to blow up Israel, we're going to blow up the world, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, I may be in some way exacerbating the thoughts in relationship to that, but I believe that's where the track that we're on. Joe Biden has paid Iran billions upon billions of dollars, even when he was vice president, now as president, giving them billions of dollars in order to help them, in my opinion, get the nuclear weapon. And that they're on the prefaces of doing that and announcing to the world that they've done that. And I'm looking at a headline article. The largest fleet of warships NATO has ever assembled is gathering now in the Eastern Mediterranean Sea. In addition to two U.S. carrier strike groups, an additional amphibious assault force, several other warships from other NATO nations are joining the ranks. This is not directly about Israel, they say. This is not directly about Palestinians, they say. This is about stoking the flames of World War III in an election year to distract from the failure unimaginable in this regime. End quote. have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go with the question, comment, please.
Yes. Good morning, Dr. Youngblood.
Morning. I pray that you're doing well.
Happy New Year to you, and I pray you are also.
Thank you. Same.
Yeah. I have to retract what you said about crazy joke. What, Joe Biden? It was Obama. Remember, Obama helped them to get nuclear power.
Mm-hmm.
Some of helping the people out.
That's right.
And that was a lot of piss of hell. And now it's been known that Obama, he's like a puppet master.
That's right.
To crazy joke.
Mm-hmm. You're exactly right. Joe Biden is the cognitively depleted human being. He should be in a rest home so that he can be cared for. He should be in a position that he does not make the decisions each day for the security of America. He should be replaced. And by the way, just for the sake of it, I've said for almost 3 years now that Joe Biden will not be the candidate on the November of this year's ballot. I believe they're going to make a change at the Democratic Convention. I believe that Joe Biden's name will not be on the ballot. I believe that it will be either Kamala Harris, God help us, or it will be Michelle Obama, or it will be Barack Obama, or it will be Hillary Clinton. But it will not be Joe Biden on that ballot. I've said that for almost 3 years now. Kenneth, we've got about a minute left on the broadcast. Let me just simply say we're looking at rumors of wars that the Bible says will take place. Another headline says, shipping giant halts commerce in the Red Sea despite U.S. Navy defenses. Shipping giants once held shipping through the Red Sea and the Gulf of Aden, and one of its box ships came under attack twice in 24 hours, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. The vessels that are shipping goods around the globe and across America are being halted now. I say that in the next 90 days, we're going to find major product shortages on the shelves in America's retail stores and businesses around the nation as a result of what we see taking place. And it's because of a inept individual in the White House that's destroying our nation. Kenneth, all we can do, brother, is keep looking up, keep listening up, and understand that our redemption draweth nigh. Thank you, Kenneth, for your call. God bless you, and have a blessed day. Stay safe from the storm as it comes through. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today a very serious subject, and it's the signs of the times. And part of those signs of the times is a nation shall rise against nation. That word nation is worth ethnos. We find the ethnically divisive thing that's taking place today, and that's part and parcel of the prophetic text that's dividing and destroying America and the globe, getting the stage set, making the stage ready for the rapture of the church, for the Lord Jesus Christ to snatch the body of believers out of this old world. Then 7 years of tribulation where the Antichrist will rule and reign, and then the glorious, victorious return of Jesus Christ. Thank you for tuning in today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to